Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give them something to eat. Give them something to eat, Jesus said to his disciples. Now, it's one thing to fill that request if you're asked to feed 5 or 6 people, and it's a whole other thing when it's about 5,000 or more people. You know, my mom, she was a wonderful mother, and she made some wonderful meals for us growing up, and she fed the 5 of us plus herself in our family. And for mom, there were probably moments when she was a little stressed out about what to make for dinner, but she figured it out. And so she could grab things from the fridge and make food for us. It was wonderful. And even if there wasn't something in the fridge, maybe she decided to go over to the local store and get some deli meat and put that together, and we could have some sandwiches and some donuts for dessert. It was great. So it's one thing to feed 5 or 6 people when you have resources available, or even if you have to call for pizza and go get pizza, but it's a whole nother thing when you're feeding 5,000 people. Go feed them, Jesus says. Feed them. And I just wonder what was going through the disciples' minds and hearts as Jesus said, go give them something to eat. And perhaps the thought of feeding that many people was overwhelming. I think that would be a good word, overwhelming. So what's the context? What's the situation here where Jesus made this request of the disciples? Well, we take a look at our reading from Matthew today, Matthew chapter 14, and the text starts out like this. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, it starts out and says, now when Jesus heard about this. Well, what did Jesus hear about? Well, earlier in the chapter, you read about the death of John the Baptist. This is a tragic situation. John the Baptist was killed for upholding what is good and true. And you can imagine that Jesus was upset about this, and he wanted some alone time. So after Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, then he goes and he tries to get some alone time. But as the text tells us, the crowds found out where he was going, and they followed him. And then Jesus, having, as it says in the text, compassion on them, began healing the sick. And that word used there for compassion has to do with being moved in the inward parts. This was a visceral, a wonderful gut reaction that Jesus had, showing the care and concern of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of a sudden, Jesus finds himself around many, many people. And you know what happens. Word spreads that Jesus is healing people and more people come. And pretty soon there's this large group of people. And I can picture that Jesus is also then teaching them. He's speaking with them, and it's getting later in the day. And what happens after a while if you've been sitting and listening and not eating? You get hungry. Those of you that are professors in universities and other places and students, you know what happens when the lecture is getting, it's going forward and you're hungry. People can get irritable. The disciples, I think, are trying to be sensitive to the needs of the people, and they say something to Jesus. Matthew 14, verse 15, now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Again, an overwhelming feeling as the disciples are staring out over this crowd, and as the text at the end says, the 5,000 men plus women and children. So that could be 10,000, 15,000 people. And I could just picture one of the disciples looking out across the crowd and seeing all these hungry faces going, uh-oh, now what do we do? Because, and I'll tell you why, there's a couple problems here. We got a couple logistics problems here. First of all, when you're out in a place that's not right next to the villages, when you're out away from the villages, you don't have food carts around. You don't go down the, you know, when you go to Portland, you get your food at the food carts. You go to a restaurant. There wasn't a restaurant around. There wasn't a food cart around to just go and get a bunch of food. So that's the first problem, is they're in an area where there isn't food right there. Secondly, we've got another problem. There's a lot of people to feed. Now, I know there weren't pizza places in that time, at least where you could call and order pizza, but just imagine. Hello, this is Galilee Pizza. How may I take your order? Yeah, I'd like to order some pizza. Okay, what would you like? Yeah, I'd like about 2,000 pizzas, large pizzas. I mean, that's a logistics nightmare. Even if you could order that many pizzas, it would be a mess. So we've got a problem. We've got an area where there isn't food right there. We've got a large number of people. And if you've ever done catering, or if you've tried to organize catering for a wedding or a party, it gets expensive. Let's imagine for a moment that you have a catering deal that's amazing, and you get a $5 per plate deal. If you got 10,000 people times $5, what is that? It's 50,000. Well, maybe even if there's 6,000, that's still $30,000, and that's a big price tag for a meal for lots of people. In John chapter 6, where this story is also recorded, Philip actually is concerned about the price. He says he thinks it would cost about 200 denarii. What is a denarii? A denarii is a day's wage. And let's pretend that a day's wage is 150 bucks. Okay? 150 times 200, $30,000. It's a big price tag. Thirdly, there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. If you do the math and you got 6, 7, 8, 10,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's not going to work. So I think the disciples may have been overwhelmed. With a big problem, a big situation, small resources, what are you going to do? Maybe you've never felt yourself in that catering nightmare, but maybe you found yourself in a situation where you are overwhelmed. You've got a situation in your life or in the life of someone you know that seems overwhelmingly huge. Maybe it's a financial situation. You look at the stack of bills, and you see the amount of money that you have, and the math doesn't add up. It doesn't work. And that can be super, super stressful when you realize this overwhelmingly big problem with small resources. Maybe it's something, a situation that you keep chewing on, and your emotional energy is being drained. This is such a big problem, and your emotions are running thin, and your patience is running out. Your trust seems to be waning. Or maybe there's a physical situation where you just don't seem to have the strength. But I believe there are times in our lives when we can run across situations where we feel overwhelmed. There was a man by the name of George Mueller, and I've mentioned him to some of you. George Mueller was a man who formed some or ran some orphanages in England. George Mueller at one point was running an orphanage with 300 people, 300 orphans. There was one day when one of George Mueller's staff members said, "George, we've got a problem. We have no more food left in the orphanage." Now, it's one thing when you're caring for 3 mouths, when you're caring for your children, and you've got a couple, maybe even 7 or 8 children. But it's a whole other thing when you've got 300 children who are depending upon you for food. 300 orphans that don't have parents and they're relying on you for food. And children need food. Children need food. Food is vital for survival for anybody, including children. So George Mueller at that moment could have felt overwhelmed at the prospect of 300 mouths to feed and no more food left in the orphanage. I'll come back to that story in a moment. But I think there are times when we can be in that place of overwhelming, of being overwhelmed. It can also happen in the church. If you look around in our society, you're going to see a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties. You're going to see a lot of hurting people in our community. And it seems, I think, overwhelming at times for a small church, even a group of small churches in the community, to reach out to people who are hurting, who are struggling, who are in need. And maybe we start realizing that we can't carry out this mission in our own strength. And I truly think that that's a good thing. When we come to the realization that in our own strength, we don't have what we need, I believe that leads us to a dependence upon the Lord. But you see, when Jesus gets involved, wonderful things begin to happen. Matthew chapter 14, 18, Jesus said to the disciples, "Bring them here to me." You know those loaves and fishes? You know that tiny little lunchbox meal that that kid brought? Bring that to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. You see, when Jesus gets a hold of these tiny bits of resources, those little 5 loaves and the 2 fish, amazing things begin to happen. For Jesus, it says that he took these things, and then he gave a blessing. He gave a blessing. And who is he blessing? He is blessing the Father, the same God who took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who were hungry. And in Exodus 16, we hear how the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob took care of this people in the wilderness by providing them with bread and meat to eat in Exodus 16. And provided for their daily bread, provided for their provisions. And now we have God in human flesh, Jesus Christ, who in this desolate place is providing for these people with bread and meat. God in human flesh has come. The Messiah has come. And this is Jesus. And he's now taking care of this group of people. It's amazing what happens when God gets a hold of those resources. When the God of all creation is in control. Remember, I told you about George Mueller and the orphans. Now, George Mueller had the situation with these orphans who were going to be hungry if they didn't get their food, and there were 300 of them. Next morning, there still wasn't any food. So what happened was, the orphans were told to go sit down. They were told to go sit down around the table, and George said, "Let us pray for the food which we are going to receive." And so they had a prayer for the food. And as they were finishing the prayer, there was a knock on the door. And this man was at the door, and this man was a baker. And this man said, "George, I couldn't sleep last night. I could not sleep last night. I felt that I needed to bake some bread. I needed to bake some bread, and I felt like I needed to bring it to you. And so, do you need any bread?" And all of a sudden, these hungry, would-have-been-hungry orphans were given their daily bread at just the right time. But guess what? There was another knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. George opens the door, and there's this milkman. This milkman says, "George, I've got a problem. My milk truck broke down not too far from here, and I have a lot of milk, and if it doesn't get used, it's going to spoil. Do you need any milk?" God provided at just the right time for those orphans, giving them their daily provision, their daily bread. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, in the fourth petition, as we call it. Give us this day our daily bread. What is meant by daily bread? Well, as it says in the explanation for that, daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. These are all gifts from the Lord. These are all from God's gracious hand. You might find yourself in an overwhelming situation right now, but let me ask you this question. Is your God big enough to take care of the problem? The God of the universe, the same God who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed thousands of people? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 6, that classic chapter about the birds of the air and the lilies, talks about the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, yet their father and that yet the Father takes care of them. Those lilies of the field, they only last for a short amount of time, but the beauty in which they are clothed is tremendous. And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord is the one who provides. And how do we know that he would provide for us? Well, we see his love shown to us. And ultimately, the most amazing and wonderful gift that your Lord has given to you is the spiritual provision that he has given. And that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus dying for you and rising for you, giving you life and hope and forgiveness, and God working through seemingly insignificant things like water and bread and wine. But when God gets a hold of insignificant things like bread and wine and water, we have things such as baptism and the Lord's Supper. Washed, cleansed, provided for, cared for. Jesus is the bread of life, right? It says in John 6, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is your God, and this is what he's done for you. Now, there's one other thing that I'd like to point out for you. God is the one who provides for you. And the amazing thing is he uses the measly resources that we have as part of his grand plan. Now, it's not mentioned in this particular text, but in John, because the story of the loaves and fishes is in all four Gospels, in John, it talks about where those five loaves and two fishes came from. Anybody remember where those five loaves and two fishes come from? A kid's lunch basket, right? Yeah, a little kid brings his lunch. And I don't think if his mommy packed his lunch, ever expected what her son was about to tell her when he got back that day. Hey, mommy, you know those five loaves and two fish? Yeah, it just fed like thousands of people.
And I had 12 baskets of leftovers.
12 baskets of leftovers. Exactly. That just shows the abundance of our God. It's not like, well, you know, just enough for everybody. Okay, no more slices of pizza or no more fish or bread for y'all. That's enough. That's your quota. No, it says they ate and were satisfied, and they had enough where if they wanted more, they could have got seconds. And there were 12 baskets of leftovers. That is the provision. And think about this. God used this little child's lunch as part of that. And here's another cool thing. He used the disciples. Remember what Jesus said earlier? He says, you give them something to eat. And they're going, ah! And then later on, what happens? It says that he gave the provisions to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So guess what? They ended up fulfilling Jesus' request at the beginning there. You give them something to eat. This is our gracious God. He uses you and me as part of his plan. He used the baker and the milkman at the door of the orphanage to provide for those orphans. It's almost like it was planned or something. Of course, this is our God. And the beautiful thing is he uses you. You may feel at this time that you don't have much to offer, that you don't have a lot of resources available. But don't worry about it. Because first of all, it's God who is going to work out those details, and it's just a privilege to be part of his plan. The other day, I was talking to some folks about a book that some of us have read together. It's a book called Joining Jesus on His Mission. Joining Jesus on His Mission. As the author reminds us, look, folks, the job of sharing the gospel with the world is ultimately not your mission. It's Jesus' mission, and you get to join him on his mission. And what a privilege that is, and it takes the pressure off realizing that ultimately God is going to send you and use you where and however he chooses. I think for us, we have to ask ourselves, are we ready and willing to go where he would send us? And I had a mentor who said this to me on several occasions. Dallas, you want to be explained by the supernatural. Dallas, you want your church to be explained by the supernatural. What do you mean by that? Ultimately, it's not in my power, it's not in our power that the mission of God is carried out, but it's rather in the hands of the one who took loaves and fishes and fed thousands of people. This is our God. This is our God. And we can trust that he will work everything out. In the midst of whatever big, overwhelming situation that you find yourself, even if there seems to be not a lot of resources, remember this. When Jesus gets a hold of it, miracles happen. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.